the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 12. Here's a familiar verse to us, and the subject tonight is, it's a battlefield, not a playground. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that was one of Lester Roloff's favorite sayings, it's a battlefield, not a playground. And I was saved at 23 years old, and I was really very far from God. I was living in the bars every night, and I went into a church for the first time in many years with my employer, and kept going and hearing more, and they kept visiting me, and then I got saved. And my life took off in a totally different direction. God called me to preach a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, 2 weeks later. And everything changed. Within a few months, I was in Texas going to Bible college at the old J. Frank Norris School. And some of the students there would listen to Lester Roloff every day on the radio. And he was preaching in Midland, Texas. And it seems like we drove all day to get there. You can't cross Texas in a day. I tell you what, it takes 2 or 3 days to get across Texas. And it seemed like we rode a long time. And we finally got to Midland, Texas. I only met him one time, and that was the time that I met him. And he offered to fly us back to the college, but we could not do that. We couldn't wait for his meeting to finish. We had to leave and go back ourselves. We had to be back at a certain time. He would say, "Sister, it's a battlefield, not a playground. Or brother, it's a battlefield, not a playground." And one of his favorite sayings. Many Christians don't realize they're living on a battlefield. Man, life is so good and so easy today. We've got all the material things we want. And we go after more. And we fill up our life with all kinds of nonsense that won't amount to a hill of beans in 10,000 years from now. And we think the world's a playground. How much fun can you have? How many vacations can you take? And how far can you go? And how long can you spend on that vacation? That's what we think life's all about. But it's not. Do you remember the hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers"? That's not sung in a church as much anymore because it's too militant. We're living in such a namby-pamby age today, and Christians are so weak and frail. That's a little too strong for them. "Onward, Christian soldiers" is a little too strong for them. "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." And many Christians say, "Well, where's the enemy? I didn't know we were in a war. I didn't know we were in a battle." Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Used to be a very common song. One thing for sure, we are soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. And what about the enemy? Well, there's a threefold assault going on against us. The world, the flesh, and the devil. All of that is going on at the same time. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We have our own flesh And isn't this something? We have our own flesh warring against us. Isn't that something? Where's that cup of water I had? Somebody took that away. I'm losing my voice here. I'm getting a little too excited. I'm going to have to calm down. We have the world trying to drag us back into sin. And we have the devil making sure it all goes according to his plan. So, it's incredible, but it's true, that the old nature fights against the spirit. The old nature, old Adamic nature of man is fighting against the spirit. I hate locked doors. When I grew up, we didn't have any locked doors. We'd go up to town and shop and never even lock our door. We weren't afraid anyone would go in there and take anything. I got to Bible college, and my roommate always locked the door. And one day I took my foot, and I busted that lock right off of there. I wanted to go in that room, and he had locked me out. And he was gone. Well, they reported me. And I had to go to Ford Harper. By that time, I'd changed schools up to Springfield. And thank you very much. He said, Vester, we have to be careful about that old Adamic nature. The old Adamic nature fights against the things of the Spirit. You see? And we're always going to have that Adamic nature until the day that we die. It's going to be with us, and we're going to have to deal with it. One way or another, we're going to have to deal with it. It keeps rising up, trying to take control of us. Galatians 5, verse 17 says, For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We want to do the right thing, but sometimes we feel incapable of doing the right thing. And the reason is the old fleshly nature of ours is still with us, and it'll be with us until the day we leave this world and go to the next world. So we're engaged in a spiritual war, a serious battle. Think back before you were saved, the devil didn't have anything to do with you. Hey, we're all born lost. We're on the way to hell when we come into this world. Did you know that? And so the devil doesn't care about impeding our progress. Hey, we're on the right road far as he's concerned. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Whatever it is, you're going to wind up in hell. But the moment we get saved and we enlist in the army of God and we start fighting the devil, well, listen, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. Then the assault comes from the devil. And so, after we're saved, we're part of the family of God and a soldier of the cross. And the spiritual war we engaged in deserves all of our energy, despite the devilish attacks. Souls are being saved. Now look at this in verse 10. Be strong. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, the Bible says. Not be strong in our opinions. Some people are really strong in their opinions. They think they're right. No, everybody else is wrong with them. Don't be strong in your opinions. First of all, you might be wrong. If you're too dogmatic in your opinions, the first problem you might run into is that occasionally you might be wrong. You might be right a lot of times, but on the other hand, you might be wrong and you don't want to have to admit that you're wrong. So don't be strong in your opinions. Don't be strong in your career. it's only a way to make money and put some food on the table. Can't carry that with you to the next world. Don't be strong in your career. Some people live for their career, whatever it is. Their whole life is wrapped up in whatever it is that they're involved in, some kind of work they're involved in. You can't get them to go to the left. You can't get them to go to the right. They're only concerned about their career and building that career and climbing the ladder. Don't be strong in that. Don't be strong in your bank account. You can't take that with you either. Every dime that you possess the day you die will stay right here in this world. And even though you can't take it with you, you can send it on ahead, can't you, Pastor? You can send it on ahead. Support missionaries. Support God's work. And use your money to pay spiritual dividends. But be strong in the Lord, the Bible says. That's what's important. Be strong in the Lord. Think about Joshua and 40 years of wandering. But Moses had died and the Israelites were ready to move into the promised land. At the same time, there were giants in the land. Fierce, mighty people. Armies of chariots, which was a fearsome weapon in the ancient world. Walled cities. God told Joshua three times, he said, be strong. Three times, he says, be strong, I have gone before you. God reminded Joshua, be strong, I am with you, he said. God says, be strong, every place your foot touches is yours. Now, those are great words to go to battle with, amen? You've got God's promises right there. Three times he says, be strong, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've gone before you. Every place your foot touches, that's going to be yours. You're going to possess that. That's an encouraging thing for a soldier, wouldn't you think? And so, be strong. And but once we take a strong stand, remember, we're going to stir up the hounds of hell, and they're going to be after us. So Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Be covered in verse 11. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. Now, any good soldier is going to tell you that it's important to have the proper weapons. In the Civil War, the North had invented the Spencer repeating rifle. If they had produced those rifles in such great numbers, the war would have been over sooner. The Confederates said about the Yankees rifle, the Spencer rifle, they said the Yankees load that on Sunday and they shoot it until next Monday. The Confederates thought they never ran out of ammunition. It didn't appear that they did because it was just kept on repeating and repeating and repeating. It was a great implement for the North. Later on in World War II, John Garand invented the M1 Garand rifle. It could shoot 8 rounds as fast as you could pull the trigger. It was the first semi-automatic rifle that was given to every soldier in any army. The Japanese and the Germans had bolt-action rifles. The M1 Garand just plain outclassed every other rifle on the battlefield. It had great accuracy. It was tremendously reliable. And it was tough. And it could take a beating. It was a great implement of war. George Patton said, the M1 rifle is the greatest battle implement man has ever devised. It's important. It's important to have good weapons. It's important as we go into battle to have good equipment for battle. So Paul says, not only is our strength from the Lord, but also our strategy, which is our equipment. Our equipment. We cannot go out on the battlefield thinking we can win this thing on our own. Why? Because the enemy is stronger than we are. The enemy is stronger than we are. Not only is the enemy stronger, but the enemy is smarter than we are. There are two prevailing thoughts about the devil that Christian people have. One is that Christians underestimate their enemy. They don't think the devil is such a big deal. They don't think the devil is such a powerful being. They fall right into his traps by thinking that. They think, well, that movie's not going to hurt me. Or that drink after work is not going to hurt me. That's not going to have any effect on me, really. I'm going to be the same person after that as I am now. The devil's not so powerful. You can't use such simple things as that. And they look at the devil and they say, well, Satan, put up your dukes. I'm going to do battle with you right now. I'm going to knock you right back into hell. But Michael, the archangel, did not bring accusation against the devil. Instead of fighting him by himself, which he knew he would lose, he called upon the Lord's power. The Lord rebuke thee in Jude 9. So the devil is no cartoon figure. You have to be really serious about whenever you go to do battle with the devil. You have to respect his power. He's a powerful and intelligent spiritual being. He's a master deceiver. Many have fallen to his schemes. Many. On the other hand, many Christians overestimate the devil's power. They shrink from battle. They think that they're overwhelmed by the devil. And even though he's powerful, he's not all powerful. Even though he is cunning, he is not all knowing. He is no match for Jesus Christ. He wants us to think that he's a match for Jesus Christ, but he's not. God knows exactly what our breaking point is. And he always provides a way of escape. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of the Lord. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. The world is not a playground to see how much fun you can have. The world is a battleground. And we're in the battle. And we're fighting every day. Now put on the full armor of the Lord. Don't leave any piece off. Why? Well, look who we're wrestling with. Don't leave any piece off of the armor that God's provided for us. We're wrestling with someone whom we should respect. It's his power, yet not be overcome by it. Be strong be covered and be aware. Verse 12. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that word wrestle means literally hand-to-hand combat. Paul uses the wrestling analogy in spiritual fighting. And he says we're actually wrestling hand-to-hand with the devil. And so understand what we're getting into here. In the Greek game, in the Greek games, in a wrestling match, the one who lost the wrestling match had his eyes gouged out. I mean, that was a little bit taking it too serious, wouldn't you say? It's just a wrestling match. It's kind of like a game. I mean, that's a little bit of overkill as far as I'm concerned. But Paul uses that analogy here, and he's talking about a serious fight. It's not something to be unconcerned about. Now, realize that we're not fighting other people in the battle. You're not fighting your wife or your husband or your children. You're fighting a spiritual fight. You're not fighting your neighbors. I read the other day, some neighbor got in an argument with the other neighbor and wound up shooting him and killing him, and now he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and he just let things get out of control. Well, you have to keep things under control, and I have to keep things under control. I'm telling you what, road rage, you have all these people on the highway, and I'm sure that I make some of them mad. I got a 36-foot trailer there and get in their way sometimes. And I'll tell you what I do. I don't look for those hand signals people give me. I take that steering wheel and I put my eyes straight ahead. I don't look to the left. I don't look to the right. I don't want to get in any arguments with anybody. All I want to do is get to where I'm going. Just like that, all the way. We're not fighting against other people. We're fighting a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war, you see. There are spiritual forces at work that are used to agitate situations and escalate them out of all proportion. And that's why little things grow to be big things, life-changing things, because people don't realize they're in a spiritual warfare. The devil's behind all this. You're in a spiritual warfare fighting the devil, friend. Know who the enemy is. No one has ever won a war without being able to name the enemy. There are people over there in Washington right now who will not, one of them's name is McMaster, a globalist liberal general working for George Soros. He will not name Islam as the enemy. On 9/11, he said there were criminals that flew into the... Hey, they weren't like criminals. They were Islamic terrorists. No war has ever been won without naming the enemy. You have to be able to name the enemy. That's rule number one. And so, Paul describes the different orders and rankings of the demonic realm. Satan cannot be every place. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't have that ability. His abilities are limited. God has limited his abilities to a certain amount, to a certain place, to a certain way. And he was kicked out of heaven, and he became the God of this world, according to the Bible. He is the God of this world. And he has his demons as his soldiers, his emissaries. And he sends them against us. He has a demon of lying. He has a demon of drink. He has a demon of drugs. He has a demon of sex. All these things and thousands more. He has a demon assigned to every job he has to accomplish. And he's the master planner. He plans it all out. He's operating behind the scenes, unseen from us. And so there are different demons responsible for different things. Be strong, be covered, and be aware. God has given us only two weapons. Only two. In human warfare, we have an unlimited amount of weapons at our disposal, nearly. All kinds of guns and all kinds of bombs and all kinds of planes and all kinds of ships and all kinds of this and that. But in spiritual warfare, we only have two weapons. The Word of God and prayer. That's it. But that's all we need. Goliath faced a giant almost 10 foot tall with a slingshot, because that was all he needed to defeat Goliath. So we are to face the demons, and we are to face Satan with the Word of God. Put on the whole armor and prayer, that is. Put on the whole, take unto you the whole armor. Girt with truth, that's the belt. Breastplate. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Lord, the Word of God. Put on the whole armor. Notice there's no armor for the backside. All the armor's to the frontal part. None for the backside. We're not to turn our back against the enemy. We're to go forward against the enemy with confidence that the Lord is with us. Be strong in the Lord. Paul says over and over, be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord. So I'm going to illustrate for you right now. A playground and a spiritual battlefield. Let's have the lights out, please.